Chicago has some of the greatest museums in the world. And if you live in the city, you've got to take a week, as much time as you can to really enjoy the places maybe that you haven't seen before. And if you have seen them, go check out what new and exciting things they have to offer. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. This is The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And the Museum of Contemporary Art is presenting the landmark exhibition, I Was Raised on the Internet, which examines the influence of gaming and entertainment as well as social media and smartphones on everyday life. Joining us in studio is Michael Darling. Hey, Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us in our brand new studio.
You're
Andrea,
welcome.
This is our first time being here in daylight, kind of, isn't it?
We've been
here after the games and stuff.
After the games, and now, yeah, we could see the light and everything.
Yeah,
so beautiful up here.
We welcome you as our first 7 o'clock hour guest, by the way. First one ever.
I
welcome.
Feel honored.
Tell us about your role at the Museum of Contemporary Art.
Well, I'm the chief curator there, so I have the lucky job of being able to be the gatekeeper on exhibitions that come to the museum and also work on bringing artworks into the museum's collection and just primarily working with artists. So that's the real fun part of the job.
And how long have you been with the museum?
Almost 8 years.
And are you from Chicago originally?
No, from the West Coast.
You know, can I just tell you, you have one of the best gift shops in the city, right? I mean, if you're looking for Chicago Christmas cards or postcards or anything Chicago that's unique and cool, you do have one of the best gift shops in the city.
Yeah, no,
people tell you that?
Even like Fodor's named us best museum gift shop in the world or something like that.
Yeah. No kidding. You can go in there and find something that you've never seen before, like that has the Chicago flag on it or 12 Days of Christmas with, you know, the Chicago theme. It's cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
How important is the revenue from the gift shop to the museum? I always wonder about that.
Yeah, it's really important. And I think we're kind of embarking on a new phase, even with that store, too. We feel like it's the rest of the museum has been uplifted with a new restaurant and new public spaces, and the store is kind of the next frontier to really, you know, upgrade that. And we've got some new people coming on board there, so look out for some really great changes in that area too.
That's fantastic. Now, tell us about I Was Raised on the Internet, because I was not raised on it, but I feel like I'm in the age where I could still kind of wrap my mind around it. A lot of my life has been we're all shaped by it now, aren't we?
Yeah, really. For sure. And so this is our big summer exhibit, and we're at a point now where artists, our digital natives, are starting to kind of hit the art scene, and people that have grown up using computers, making art with computers, it's just their natural habitat as opposed to using paintbrushes and paint and marble or photographs or whatever. And so all the work in this show is made by a young generation of artists, and it's all looking at how the internet has affected our lives in all kinds of ways.
It's so funny watching reruns of shows that we kind of watched, which I don't think it was too long ago, Friends or Seinfeld or whatever it would be, and to see the big computers, the big block computers, or even the landline phones, or when they started to get the remote phones, I'd have to lift the antenna.
Yeah.
So I'm reminded of that when I see some of the images that are on your website about I Was Raised on the Internet.
Yeah. And, you know, this show has virtual reality and augmented reality and videos, projections all over the place. So it's a real fun house of stimulation. But also it's very thought-provoking, too.
You mentioned the other, like, more textiles in the art world, you know, with sculpting and painting. Are there other periods in history that you can point to that are like this, that where artists really have this big shift and move away from? And I think that, obviously, they come back, too. You have a population that experiences the world in so many different ways. Do you have a comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I think a great comparison is when photography was invented. All of a sudden, painters didn't have to do the things that they needed to do, and they could be freed up to make abstract work. I mean, the abstract painting didn't exist before photography was invented to take over that use. So now we've come to the point where the internet is everywhere and ubiquitous, and so now we're starting to look at art in different ways.
I asked someone the other day, we were talking about Facebook and Instagram, and I said, do you think that will still be around, say, in 10 years? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and I think the response was yes, but even bigger than you can imagine it right now. What do you guys think?
Same thing? It makes my stomach turn a little bit to think of it being Facebook being bigger.
Bigger. And yeah. Instagram, I mean.
But I think those platforms, for sure, whether those are the companies that are leading us there, who knows? But it doesn't seem like this is going away anytime soon.
No. Even when people said they were leaving Facebook, when they heard about all the way your data was being used and things like that. So tell us about the exhibit and how people can experience it, because I would imagine there's a lot of immersive sort of experience.
Yes.
Too.
And, you know, it's broken up into all kinds of different thematic sections so that you can make sense of it, because there's over 50 artists in the show. So one section, for instance, is called Touch Me, and it has to do with how virtual, you know, ideas about touch and feeling and stuff are nowadays. And another section is called Play With Me, and like looks at how gaming has kind of influenced how art is appreciated. Or one that's called Control Me, so that really looks at sort of the darker side where we're being surveilled and our information is being gathered and all of that. So it you know, looks at the joyful side of the internet and digital art and digital life, but also sort of the darker elements as well.
How do you think gaming has taken us to different platforms too? Because again, not to always keep reverting, but from Atari and Intellivision to these
you mean Pong? End,
remember right, Pong? Exactly. Yes. Exactly. I mean, that's gone to a platform or a plateau that I couldn't even have anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's trickling into how kids learn nowadays, and things are being tailored towards gaming approaches or even business models that are being shaped by gaming, and so it feels like it's integrating into all kinds of different aspects of society. And then artists, of course, are figuring out this is a way to get people engaged and make them look at the art that they're making too.
I see that you also have like the Oculus and the sort of using that equipment is bizarre. I mean, do you use it on a regular basis?
I'm subject to kind of motion sickness, so I don't know how well I'm going to do with some of these virtual reality pieces.
If I could just, I showed this to Michael one night when our friend Steve Van Dinter came in. He brings in a lot of tech gear, so I use the Oculus for the sort of 3D experience. Netflix has an app for it, so you can actually just watch a movie, but it looks like you're in a ski lodge. So my husband gets nervous because he's afraid I won't leave, because it's a much bigger place and much cleaner than the one I live in.
Yeah.
So try the ones that aren't like where you have to move around. You just kind of look around. Have you tried any of those, or is it still hard for you?
I'm still new to it. So maybe there are some ones that are a bit more suited to my equilibrium.
A little more gentle. Yeah. I don't move around but you do get the feeling like you should reach out and touch something. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting, but it reminds you of how we can be manipulated by technology, and your brain is tricked into thinking, you know, making you dizzy, you are thinking you can touch something. But also the way we were talking earlier about the arguments people have on Facebook, how the internet can really shape the way we think about things if we're not aware of it. So I love that you have this exhibit. I think it's a great way for people to kind of take it in another way, in another perspective. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the idea, that people are going to be familiar with the look and feel of this stuff, but the content itself is what's going to be thought-provoking and making them kind of question how they use the internet on a daily basis.
Some of these rooms, this is so cool because it's so interactive and so hands-on. And I see this woman using an Oculus that's kind of dangling from the ceiling too. And it reminds me, they use those at the auto show for the first time this year. Kind of that sort of experience, instead of getting in the car and going off-roading.
Right.
And you can feel, you know, you can just feel everything moving. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Who was getting motion sick about that? Yeah, I wouldn't try that one. But those are super cool.
Yeah, the virtual reality is an interesting technology, but it doesn't seem to be taking off the way you would think, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe the devices themselves are still kind of expensive, or not as many platforms to use them on. So maybe we haven't hit that saturation point where it just becomes super available to everybody yet.
Well, and I think it reminds me of the Google Glass. Remember they tried having like the, you know, the ability to access.
Glasses.
That didn't work very much either. I just think that maybe there is a limit to where we're willing to give over our senses. And maybe that, and I think that's probably a good thing. We, you know, aren't there yet.
Yeah.
Or maybe if ever.
Ready Player One kind of status.
Exactly, yeah. What could even be next? You know, I think about our phones and how advanced they are, and what could be next. They've
funny you should say that. We're going to have a guest in a little bit, my friend Dr. Charles Turk, who really believes in singularity. Are you familiar with singularity?
No.
Basically, like, and he would explain it differently, but like downloading your memories so that it can exist in perpetuity, so that you can it's sort of becoming one with the computers and with technology.
It's very Flash Gordon.
It's very
it?
Creepy. And it's the kind of thing that makes me uncomfortable.
I just watched the latest episode of Westworld, and that's what happened, where, you know, all of his experiences were on this chip, and then his wife found out how evil he was.
Destroyed the chip.
World. So, yeah.
Wow. We are hanging out with Michael Darling, who is with the Museum of Contemporary Art. You said you were the curator?
Chief curator. So we've got a whole group of curators, and so...
You're the chief. Do they call you chief at work? Hey, chief.
No, not usually.
I'm going to ask them to do that for you. Would you like that or no?
Sure.
Is that kind of weird?
No, that would
hey, chief.
Good.
He's with the Museum of Contemporary Art Chicago, presenting the landmark exhibition I Was Raised on the Internet, an immersive and participatory show examining the impact of the internet from 1998 to the present. Let's talk more about this when we come back. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on WGN 720 WGN. The summer, the Museum of Contemporary Art Chicago presents the landmark exhibition I Was Raised on the Internet, an immersive and participatory show examining the impact of the internet. And we have in studio the chief curator for the museum, Michael Darling, in studio with us. Thank you for hanging out with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And welcome again to you and any of the listeners who are wondering what's happening to the schedule.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we still need to let people know, because they're like, oh, where's Justin? Justin and Pete Zimmerman are now part of the Steve Cochran crew. Andrea Darlis is on my team.
We did a trade. A very happy, nice exchange, little
it feels
swap.
Like gym class. You were first picked. I need Andrea.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You did. Yeah, yes. You had my back.
I'm going to take Andrea.
That's right.
So we are now the 7 to 11 p.m. crew, and then we will be following any White Sox games. Mm-hmm. So if we are preempted, we will go right after the game until 1 a.m. So that's the new schedule, which means that we have plenty of time now to go to the Museum of Contemporary Art, which is right down here by Water Tower, isn't it?
Yes, just right next to Water Tower.
One of the best museums, and super accessible, too.
It's such a great area.
Yeah.
I love that. What was the thing that surprised you the most when you moved to Chicago and became the chief curator, or became someone who worked for the museum? What were you surprised by the most in Chicago, whether it was the museum itself or the city?
I mean, I think the thing that I love about Chicago is just how hungry people are here for culture, and they go out for culture, whether it's the opera or the museums or concerts and, you know, ballet and all of that. So the arts are really well supported here, and we really feel that too. And so just, you know, wanting to sort of tap into that and make ourselves a resource for the city, I think is what motivates us.
The MCA has become probably one of the most well-known modern art museums. I mean, it's been compared now to the Guggenheim and different museums all across the world. That's got to make you feel really good.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's that response that we've gotten from people, and where they know that if they come see us, that they're going to see something fun and relevant to their lives and new. And so that's the niche that we're trying to fill here in Chicago.
For people who aren't familiar with the museum, what's the best way for them to stay up to date on the exhibits that you have and all the information that they need?
You know, they can for sure subscribe to our Instagram or Facebook and things like that. But our website also has all of that information right at your fingertips, because there's talks and there's performances going on all the time, as well as these exhibitions. So we, you know, there's almost something going on all the time at the museum, and especially Tuesday nights and Friday nights, there's always special events. And those nights we're open late too. So it's, you know, we're trying to be a resource for the city.
Do you still do the jazz on the terrace?
Yes, it's summer now. So Tuesdays on the terrace. And so we have jazz all summer night.
That is
all
so summer long. We're gonna go for a cocktail one night.
That sounds very good.
Yeah.
And food too, since we have our new restaurant that they're catering the jazz as well. So
wonderful.
Well, always you need to twist our arm. Wait.
Always something going on at the Museum of Contemporary Art Chicago. And how long does this exhibit run for?
This is running into October.
Okay. So
there should be lots of time for people to see it all through the summer.
And it's a great way, especially with the kids out of school right now. You know, parents get to this point where they're like, what do we do next? Where do we take the kids? What a wonderful way, if you've never been there with your children, because people go to the Adler, they'll go to the Shed and the Museum of Science and Industry, even the Art Institute on Michigan Avenue. I think that this is something that, you know, maybe they don't know if their kids are going to like it, because it seems a little bit more highfalutin, right? Wouldn't you say this is a great way to introduce them, especially with this technology?
Yeah, I mean, we're speaking their language with this show.
Oh, big time. And I always want to ask the curator too, because you put this together, this is kind of your baby. What do you want people to take away from this exhibit, whether they were raised on the internet or absolutely not?
I think that, you know, these digital tools, whether it's video, computer programming, graphics, virtual reality, that those are the new tools that artists are turning to nowadays. And I think to know that those things have been legitimated by artists and by museums, and to not be surprised when they start seeing more and more of that as they go to museums in the future and art galleries.
I love the exploration that you have in this exhibit. There's so much to do with Look at Me, as you mentioned, Touch Me, Control Me, play with me. These are all going to end up on Nick D's contacts, by the way, just so we're clear.
Are you texting?
Stop exactly. That. Sell Me Out. These are some of the titles for the exhibits and different ways that you can really absorb what the artists want to convey. Sell Me Out sounds fascinating because, you know, there are, you know, for so many, you know, for centuries, when it comes to commerce and retail and trying to get someone to buy something, now we can't get away from it. You feel like your phone is listening to you all the time. If you're scrolling through, you're like, wait a minute, I was on Amazon looking at shoes just like that. Now it's in my feed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So it feels like you're always being followed.
Definitely.
And yeah. We have been sold out, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we have, you know, and so, but I think maybe like we were saying earlier, maybe we're at a turning point too, where we maybe don't want to tolerate that anymore, or maybe there's ways that we can start resisting it. And so I think artists are always the ones that are kind of poking at those issues that are kind of hot button things in society. And so I think we're seeing that in this exhibition too.
That's absolutely right. I think that, you know, that's a reason to see an exhibit like this is to, again, take another look at something that you're already familiar with and go, huh, I hadn't really thought of it from that angle, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, we have an artist that's done a whole project on Instagram and using Instagram as her platform to get her ideas across. And, you know, so the things that we're all using for every day, they're starting to migrate into that territory.
God, remember the computer labs at school? I remember in college, they were just starting to find out about the internet and you had to go and reserve time at the lab. And now it's, as you said, Betty, it's right here.
Oh my gosh, with a laptop, with your phone. I mean, you know, Griffin, my son who's going off to high school next year, he will. You know, they're like, get your Chromebook or get a MacBook. I mean, now they just take it with them. You know, we were lucky, you're right, taking turns at the computers, when, you know, learning how to like plot colors and things like that. Now everything's at their fingertips. When you're going to curate a new exhibit, what are some of the things, like, do artists send you pitches, or how does that process work?
It's usually us going out and finding things. And so we'll go to all the places where art's being shown, at art galleries, you know, sometimes going to art schools and seeing their graduating shows, going to other museums, and start making kind of mental lists of art, like maybe when this exhibition was in our thoughts, that we started looking for artists that would kind of fit the show. But then also one thing that I'm always looking for is making a broad exhibition that's got lots of different levels and angles to it, so that's not just a monofocus thing where you might, you know, kind of get bored after the first gallery. But there's all these themes that you mentioned that help to sort of elongate your visit and dig you deeper into the material. And so I think that variety is something that we're always looking for in a good exhibition.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Yeah, and how do you narrow it down?
Yeah, no, especially with this topic too. Yeah. You know, it could keep going on and on and on. Yeah.
Wonderful. Again, follow the Museum of Contemporary Art Chicago on Instagram, I'm guessing you're on Snapchat. You got all those.
Facebook for sure, Instagram, Twitter. I don't know if we're on Snapchat. I have to ask
IT guys about that.
But
I remember the first time someone showed me how to use a map. Like, you can see where people are nearby. And
you
what
showed
doing.
Me for the first time how to do
That's
that.
That's crazy. So let's go see more crazy at the museum. Crazy, wonderful, yeah. Unexpected at the Museum of Contemporary Art Chicago. I was raised on the internet. Again, the website,
www.mcachicago.org.
Excellent. And go to the gift shop too.
And let's go see.
Thank you.
Let's go listen to some jazz and have a cocktail.
Let's do it.
And then buy something from the gift shop. Excellent. More after this on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis.